evening is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and a passage from chapter 2. And then we have a few verses from the book of Revelation. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear God's word. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does a man gain from all his labor, at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. And then verse 17 of chapter 2. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days are, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. And then Revelation chapter 14. Starting at verse 12. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the sermon that I preach, that all those who listen through your Holy Spirit may hear a better sermon than the one preached. And I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will move in our hearts, touch us, strengthen us. Take away that is sinful in the words that I speak, and lift up what is good. We ask that you speak to us, and may we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. People loved by God. In the book entitled The Pest, or in English, The Plague, Albert Camus, the author, writes about a bubonic plague. One day in April, in an Algerian city of Oran, rats started to die in the street. First, there were only a couple. Days later, there were thousands. A week later, the first person died. Then, weeks later, there were thousands dying. The book describes how the residents responded with small acts of heroism and large acts of cowardice. The book details harrowing scenes of isolation, disease, and death. No one is permitted to enter or leave the city. And under the leading of Dr. Raoult, a few individuals form a group to resist the plague. They form a sanitary group that helps the sick and buries the dying. In perhaps the most harrowing scene in the book, they watch a screaming child die. After about a year, through tireless work and luck, the plague loses its steam. The gates of the city are thrown open, and the people celebrate in the streets. The book was written in 1947. Albert Camus fought with the French resistance during the Second World War. Literally, the book is about a plague, symbolizing all plague. Metaphorically, the book is about the plague of the Third Reich. The book concludes with conversation. The last sentence is spoken by Dr. Raoult. He says, "The rats will be back. The rats will be back." It's the same thing that the teacher of Ecclesiastes writes. Listen, he writes, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning to its course. What has been will be again. And what has been done has already been done. The eternal recurrence of the same. And in this context, the teacher asks, verse 3, what do people gain from their labors at which they toil under the sun? You know, when I was a seminary student, I dreamed of a huge church auditorium filled with worshipers and me preaching. I dreamed of a congregation where people were joining, and I was the minister. You mean I dreamed of making a difference, or maybe leaving a bit of a legacy? We all have had or have similar dreams. But if what is has already been, and if what is done today will be done again in the future with nothing added and with nothing new, what do people gain? Profit, have left over from all their toil? The teacher's answer is nothing. A sobering thought. And the teacher looks at our work from a different perspective. The teacher considers someone who has worked hard, made sacrifices, and built something significant. Then he writes that when this person died, this person must just give it over to someone else. And who knows? I mean, who knows if this person will be wise or a fool? Death makes mockery of our toiling. I mean, our work is like a parent with their two children building a sandcastle at a beach. I mean, they build an elaborate castle, a moat, a drawbridge, a castle wall, sections all the same size, and inside the wall, a number of buildings. And they toil, and they work. And when they're finished, they stand back and they admire their work. And they notice the tide coming in. And within 1 hour, the waves have washed the sandcastle away, and everything has returned to what it was. It is remembered no more. I mean, someone has written that when we die, the only thing we leave behind is the earth that we stood on, and it continues to spin without us. You know, after making the point that human toil has no gain, the teacher turns the corner. The teacher writes that it is good for a man and a woman to eat and to drink and to find enjoyment in their work. And we will discover that, friends, this is good news. Finding joy in our work, the teacher writes, is a gift from God given to the wise. And I'm going to repeat that. Finding joy in our work is a gift from God given to the wise. And this evening, we are going to listen to the teachings of the teacher so that we may be wise and find joy in our work. The teacher teaches that humans have no control over the results of their work. I have no control over how something I spent hours and hours and hours working on, how that will be received and used by others. Humans have no control over the results of their work. And acknowledging this sets us free to be caught up in the rhythm of the work we are doing. Every work has its rhythm. Cooking a meal, balancing a ledger sheet, teaching a math lesson to students. All work has a rhythm. And years ago, I was installing siding on many unit storage buildings. And the buildings were 300 feet long. There were six buildings. Every vertical piece of siding was the same size, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Every section between the openings, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, was exactly the same size. The potential for monotony and boredom was considerable. I was with two colleagues, and one cut, one prepared each section, and the other installed. And we worked, and we got caught in a rhythm. And at the end of the day, a long day, we stood back and we looked at our work. No hammer marks, clean saw cuts, two buildings completely done. And I felt joy and satisfaction, acknowledging that we have no control over the results of our work, sets us free to get caught up in the rhythm of the work. And the teacher adds another layer. The teacher teaches that if our work is motivated by loving God and loving neighbor, we find joy in our work. At the end of Ecclesiastes, the teacher writes, fear God and keep God's commandments. And Jesus summarized God's commandments when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, we do not work to create a profit. We do not work to create a good reputation for ourselves. We do not even work to make a difference or to create a bit of a legacy. The teacher instructs us to do our work motivated by love for God and love for neighbor, showing kindness and respect to our colleagues, doing our work with skill and care so that the products we make or the services we produce bless our neighbors. Acknowledging that we have no control over the results of our work. Getting caught up in the rhythm of work. Motivated to do our work with a love for God and neighbor. When we do this, we find joy in our work. The teacher continues. The teacher has taught that all things in nature are cyclic. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes. Humans are created, part of nature. What we do is cyclic. What is, has already been, and will be again. The teacher teaches that we do not have control over the results of our work. It is not our realm. It is God's realm. And the teacher writes, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God has made everything beautiful in its time. God takes our work and makes it beautiful in God's time. I mean, God takes our work and makes it beautiful in God's time for God's redemption. And sometimes we catch a glimpse of that. Sometime back, I was standing at a bedside holding hands with the matriarch of the family. Her sons and her daughters and their marriage partners were standing around the bed. Her husband, their father, had just died. We were all holding hands. Our heads were folded. And each person around the bed prayed, giving thanks for their father, mentioning good and bad. And I caught a glimpse of God making beautiful the nurturing work of the parents in God's time. God not us. God makes beautiful our work in God's time for God's redeeming work. And when we believe that, really believe that, we find joy in our work. And then in a roundabout way, the teacher of Ecclesiastes teaches another layer about work. But he does that through the writer of Revelations. And I kind of think the writer of Revelation was a student of the teacher who wrote Ecclesiastes by reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Because listen, John, the author of Revelations, listen to what he writes about work. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments, same theme, and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. I mean, on the cross, Jesus defeated darkness, sin, evil, Satan, and death. And today, in heaven, Jesus is putting all enemies under his feet. And when Jesus returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the writer of Revelations writes that the deeds of those who die in the Lord, their deeds, will follow them in some mysterious way. Those deeds are the building material for the new heaven and the new earth. Friends, quite literally, our work is in God's creative hands. God making our work beautiful in its time. You know, the teacher writes that it is good if a person eats and drinks and finds joy in their work. We do that, and we find that joy when we listen to the teachings of the teacher. When we are wise and apply them to our work, and when we do, we will find joy in our work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, may we be wise. May we apply the teachings of the teacher to our work, whatever that work is. And Lord, may we find joy in our work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In response to God's word, we